and your back, Vogel indignantly responded. Michael makes everybody miserable. He makes you miserable. He made Jeffrey miserable. Why would I want that? Vogel was not going to get close to Eisner, only to have his head chopped off, as he put it. He'd had plenty of opportunities, but had remained loyal to Roth. In the intrigue-filled corridors of the Team Disney building, Roth obviously didn't trust him, or anyone else, for that matter. The Sixth Sense wasn't helping Vogel's relationship with Roth. After committing to star in Armageddon as part of a two-picture deal with Disney, Bruce Willis had negotiated the right to choose from every leading man role in development at the studio. So Vogel, after buying the rights to The Sixth Sense, had sent the script to Willis's agent, Arnold Rifkind, as he did all the scripts he acquired. He didn't imagine that a star of Willis's stature would be at all interested in a small-budget thriller from an unknown writer-director. So Vogel was shocked when Rifkind called producer Kathleen Kennedy and said, "This is our movie." The next day, Rifkind called Vogel. Willis wanted to play the role of Malcolm Crowe, the child psychologist. "The script is good, but Knight's not directing," he said. Vogel realized the star treatment was starting. "He has a pay-and-play commitment," Vogel explained. "How could you be so stupid?" Rifkind asked. This infuriated Vogel, who'd only guaranteed Shyamalan the chance to direct in order to get the script. "Who the fuck do you think you are?" he exclaimed. "This guy wrote it, and that's how I got it." Both he and Joe Roth, who was dismayed that Willis had chosen The Sixth Sense rather than sticking with his action picture franchise, figured that Willis would walk when he found out Shyamalan was directing. In some ways, it would be easier if he did. Because of Willis, the budget would vault the film into the event category. But Rifkind backed down, and Willis stayed attached to the project. Since he had other commitments, the shooting schedule got delayed. But by the summer of 1998, filming was underway. About three-quarters of the way through the production, Vogel got a call from Roger Birnbaum, head of Spyglass Entertainment, an independent producer. "I just wanted to tell you that Sixth Sense is my baby now." Spyglass had bought all foreign and domestic rights to the film from Disney. "In terms of going forward, you have to run all your budget overages by me first." Vogel was reeling. Roth sold his movie without even telling him? Not just foreign, but domestic rights, too? To reduce risk and recoup some of their investment, studios often sold some rights to the films they had in development or production, but rarely both foreign and domestic. So all Disney would get was a distribution fee. Birnbaum added that he expected a producer credit on the film. "Roger, you're wrong," Vogel countered. "You may be picking this up, but you have to wait until I'm done and stop talking to me like that. It's upsetting to me. I may be getting screwed out of this, but not yet. It's still mine." Minutes later, Kathleen Kennedy and Frank Marshall were on the line. No one had told them either, and they were furious. Vogel wanted to run upstairs and confront Roth, but he held back. What was the point? He knew Roth was competing to succeed Ovitz as president of Disney, and he was under pressure from Eisner to cut costs drastically. Roth would just say that he'd never really liked the script, and that Willis had driven up costs. The next day, Vogel and Roth met to discuss